Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Unite in our love for one tournament and one place and one golf course. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. We will have Sean Davison on to cover the last three PGA Tour events. Some interesting things have happened over the last 3 weeks. We'll get his thoughts on that, plus March Madness and some other things. Blog Talk Radio has a new user interface, which is interesting. Always fun to get to use a new user interface, so checking that out right now, and I'm going to cover a non-golf thing, because we're going to get to golf, obviously, with Sean momentarily. But the NFL has revealed what the wording of the catch definition change will be. There is not a rule change as to what the catch. There is a wording change being done to what is or is not a catch. Which is trying to clarify things for officials. It is not what a lot of fans want to hear. The tweak to the catch rules is from Mark Maskey of the Washington Post. Receiver must have control, both feet on the ground, and have the football long enough to clearly establish himself as a runner. Clearly establishing himself as a runner replaces having the ball long enough to make a football move. So sorry for those of you who like the phrase a football move. The receiver must still maintain possession of the ball while going to the ground. While on the ground, if he goes to the ground while in the process of making a catch. The bottom line here, folks, is that the catch, the Des Bryant catch, no catch, is still not a catch. They tried to clear up what constitutes making a catch, but they did not change the going to the ground part. And if you've listened to anything that the competition committee people said, or what Dean Blandino is saying, the head of officiating, if they changed going to the ground, they would be getting into what they believe is a Pandora's box of, well, is this a catch? Is this not a catch? And certain moves and certain gyrations and turning them into a judgment while replay was supposed to fix black or white issues. That's Jeff Fisher's position, for one. This is not going to make a lot of people happy. I can tell you that much. We'll see what happens as time goes on. But clearly, this is not going to end the debate over what is or is not a catch, and this is not going to please all parties who have had a say in what is or is not a catch. But as the competition committee meets and the owners meet down there and vote on these proposals, that is what the wording change will be for what is or is not a catch. It is not a rule change. At some point here, Luke Morrow and I will have our annual discussion about the rule changes, and we'll discuss them and figure out what we like and don't like. But that, for one, is the big change. The definition of what is a catch, that the wording has changed. The definition clearly is not, because if you don't go to the ground and maintain control, it is still an incomplete pass. Sean Davison joins us to talk golf right after this. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling.
Sometimes tough isn't enough.
Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
And we welcome back to Teeing It Up, Sean Davison, who has been covering the PGA Tour for the last 3 weeks. That's a fun 3-week stretch to cover, Sean.
Yeah, certainly. You get to see some of the nicest courses the state of Florida has to offer, considering how rich Florida is in terms of golf and golf courses. It really has been a privilege.
Let's start with Tampa, because I think when we close out the Florida swing, I think Tampa's what I'm going to look forward to. Look back on most. On TV, it sounded like that crowd was super charged up for the Reed O'Hare Spieth playoff. What was it like down on the ground?
No, you're absolutely right. I haven't seen that many people running from hole to hole to see a playoff in quite some time, because typically fans will hang around at 18 and just sort of hope that they come back or hope that they finish the first part through. And, there's TVs and stuff, and sometimes they wire video to the school board. So you typically don't see a lot of movement. But, it's a real testament to the job Valspar has done. They didn't just step in to revive this tournament. They dove in head first. They've really invested a lot of time and money into this tournament, and it shows. They've drawn a wonderful field. They've brought in big crowds, and those crowds were treated to fantastic golf that they were so riveted by that they went out to the course themselves to watch this playoff that ended up being just absolutely amazing between some of the youngest players that we had and some of the most promising players that we had as well.
As I sit here, and you and I have talked countless times on this show, Sean, about guys who win once and then, winning breeds winning and taking the leap. And here we are with Jordan Spieth, and it's been, 4 months shy of 2 years since he won his one and only PGA Tour event, and he's had all the close calls. Do you think this is the win that finally propels him, or is this PGA Tour landscape just so deep to where no matter what, you get 5 or 6 wins in a career, and that's a solid career?
I think even more so than Valspar being what's going to spur him on, this win at Valspar comes off of a win in Australia and a win in an unofficial event, but a very strong event in Orlando at Tiger Woods event. This just so happens to be the second official tour event that he's won. And I do believe that, winning once can sometimes be shrugged off as a fluke or as a one-time occurrence, and there's a lot more pressure to win that second time to validate it. Jordan Spieth claims that to him, a win's a win, and he won that second tournament, on the offseason when he won in Australia. But, this is the type of thing. You look at Patrick Reed, and Reed's won 4 times in 3 seasons, and we still haven't even completed the 3rd season. You can win multiple times throughout the years, and Jordan Spieth has been knocking on the door, and for whatever reason, just couldn't get the putt to fall or couldn't find enough the fairways. It's always been one little thing, typically on Sunday, that held him back. I think now in an official tour of it, the fact that he's able to put it together, he made some clutch putts, he had some tough lies that he was able to get up and down. So he could have gotten it up and down from a garbage can, I'm convinced. He played phenomenal golf. And for him to close out a tournament like that and to battle back and forth with the lead and to keep his cool, especially emotionally, when guys were holing out from the fairway and Patrick Reed makes a 31-foot bomb to tie him on 18, he kept himself calm. He really handled it very well, very maturely. And that's going to serve him well in the future. And I think this is just the beginning of Jordan Spieth, who is now the number 6 player in the world, and he just turned 21.
I'm talking with Sean Davison about the PGA Tour. Sean, let's now go to Doral. And the headline that came out of Doral, and I've seen this written up in multiple places, which is not a good thing for the PGA Tour or for Cadillac or for Donald Trump, is that there was a lack of buzz. And I would completely agree that through the TV, it did not sound like there was the excitement and the big crowds and that kind of electrically charged atmosphere that Doral used to have or potentially could have. What was it like on the ground in terms of buzz?
Well, No, there was definitely the element of just excitement that was missing. Sure, there was some, and yeah, there was some great golf down the stretch, but for whatever reason, it just didn't seem to have the magic that it had in years past. Maybe that's just Tiger not being it. You know, we all know that Tiger really spurs the increase in attention and the increase in TV ratings and the increase in crowd attendance, but I really do think that, you know, this is a course that you either love it or you hate it. And it became a very, very tough course. Donald Trump said when he was redesigning it with Johannes that he wanted it to play like the U.S. Open. So, you know, this is a course that really did play tough, and you didn't really see as many things that would get a crowd excited. There weren't as many birdies as there might have been in the past when 22, 23, 24 under was winning at Doral. You know, these hard fought out, you know, tournaments, that's what you see. And only the really educated golf fans will understand and appreciate, you know, people getting up and down for par, people having to grind on different holes. And, you know, that's all fine, well, and good, but at the same time, people who are going out there to have a good time, that are looking to see hole outs and looking to see birdie bombs and all sorts of crazy, wonderful things happening, it's just not going to happen very much on a course the way Doral has been set up.
Let's now talk about the golf that was played, and I think so many of us have looked at Dustin Johnson as a big disappointment, blessed with so much talent, so much natural talent too, that if he just kind of got himself refocused and back working on the right things and focusing on the right things, that the sky was the limit for him, and he looks as fit as I've seen him. His game obviously was as strong as many of us have seen it, and if this is a harbinger of things to come, Dustin Johnson could be in for a big 2015.
Yeah, it certainly seems that we do have these moments with Dustin Johnson where he really shows us what he's capable of, and we get all excited about him, and things happen. And this will be the first year since he took some time off and really worked on himself, as he said. He really hasn't come out and said what the issue was, and but that's well within his rights to do so. And, you know, he said he worked on himself, and, you know, he's engaged to Paulina Gretzky, and they've had their son, and I do believe that's also had an impact. He's playing for somebody else, and he comes home to a little one now. You know, we'll see how that affects him, and what really is going to be the proof in the pudding for me is how he plays moving forward. He hasn't played since Doral, and if he shows up in Texas, or if he's next going to play at the Masters and has a big performance there, then I'll really buy into it. But what I saw in Doral was a very, very focused, very sharp Dustin Johnson, who played very well out in California as well. And as you said, you know, if he can keep this up, he is going to have a big 2015. It's just whether or not he does.
And now let's talk about Bay Hill. And Matt Every, I'm not sure where this came from, because he kind of, you know, had not been showing up on any leaderboards lately. There he is down the stretch on Sunday, and lo and behold, makes another putt on 18.
Yeah, that was a very interesting sort of deal. A couple months ago, he started working with Sean Foley, as it turns out, and Sean Foley has this relationship with a fitness coach, and that sort of led to this relationship with a fitness coach where Foley could tell the fitness coach what Every needs, and the fitness coach could also, you know, tell Foley, you know, this is where he's struggling, whatever. It really worked out well that Every had all this feedback, and he has this very solid team that's working with him now. He talked about how he struggled and how he struggled with ball striking and just pretty much at times all aspects of the game, but he really focused on ball striking and said that especially when he was over in China, he was striking the ball so bad he was worried that his playing partners sat there thinking, this guy sucks. And, you know, that's another thing about Matt Every. There's never a boring Matt Every press conference, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's very honest, and he said something that I really liked. And he said, sometimes you have to take a step backwards to take a couple steps forward. And I feel that's what I did. And I think that, you know, he really did strike the ball very well. As he said, he was the one who struck the ball best at Bay Hill. He made the tee putts when he needed to. He shot a very quiet 66 in the final round to win the tournament. And, you know, there's horses for courses. He came back to the tournament. He won a year ago. He sort of felt that magic in the air. He rode it. He struck the ball well. He made some big putts. And next thing you know, he defended.
And then, you know, from my perspective as a Jersey guy, the local story obviously is Morgan Hoffman. The guy's an interesting guy to listen to, entertaining. He flies because of Arnie. He lost his grandmother last week and played in her honor. He makes his own food and eats it barehanded on the golf course. But it seemed like on Sunday, whether it was the moment or just the game that kind of went awry, he just could not keep the momentum that he had from previous days.
And I think that comes with experience. I mean, he has contended in tournaments before. He's finished high in tournaments before. But every time until this time, he was coming from behind, and he was posting a low number, and you know, he was getting in the house and waiting to see if the number would hold, and it hasn't quite yet. But this is the first time that he took the lead and held the lead around the turn of a golf tournament. He had the lead, you know, through 10 on the back nine. It comes with experience, and you and I have both said, you sort of have to throw one away before you win one. And he still went into Sunday and played under par golf. And he still, credit to him, after the bogeys on 9 and 11, when they're 9 and, gosh, he bogeyed three holes, 9, 11, and 12, I believe, or 9, 12, and 13. I think that's it. He bogeyed three out of four holes. But after he did that, he came back and he birdied 16, got himself back within one. And then by then, I mean, I don't know what happened. He must have hit his drive left of the fairway at 18 because I was on the 18th green and just saw a couple balls in the fairway. I thought he was on in regulation.
No, hit it out of bounds left. He hit it over the fence by those people's houses.
Okay. Yeah, by the time I got out to 18, there were two balls in the fairway, and I thought he got on in regulation. Then I saw it 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but by then, that tournament was out of reach for him. Anyway, every posted 19, he's going to have to recreate a Gomez moment. And clearly that didn't happen. So, I mean, you know, you can talk about 18, but 18, you know, the tournament was already out of reach. And I still thought he did a nice job of battling back, giving himself a chance through 16 despite the slip-up around the turn. And he'll be better for it. He's young, he's talented, he's playing good golf. He played very nicely down in Doral as well. And he's going to be around for a while, and I think his time is coming soon.
Talking with Sean Davidson about the world of golf. Sean, Rory McIlroy was kind of inconsistent over this Florida swing. Phil Mickelson, his game is almost non-existent. Tiger Woods has been non-existent. As you look at Augusta right now, it's kind of a weird setup because we've got the perennials. If we want to look at this as flowers, we kind of have the perennials or the annuals that are not in good form, and it seems like the new flowers that you plant in the garden to see what will look good this year and see what might survive the weather better could be the ones that don a green jacket come Sunday night.
Yeah, certainly. You know, there's still questions whether or not Tiger's going to play the Masters now. A lot of that speculation doesn't really matter because I think Tiger is so engrossed in catching Jack that even if he's not ready, he's going to try to play the Masters. And you don't know what you're going to get there. And the same thing, I mean, Phil's not hurt, but you don't know what you're going to get from Phil. He can shoot 80 one day and shoot 60 the next. And on a course he loves as much as Augusta, I would not be surprised in the least if he contends on Sunday. But as far as some of the younger guys go, you have to take a look at Jordan Spieth. You have to take a look at, if he's healthy, a Brooks Koepka. You have to look at Bubba Watson, again, who played well in Doral to defend at the Masters. But as far as I'm concerned, right now the guys I'm looking at, Bubba Watson, who again played well at Doral. He's won the Masters twice. It's just a course that suits his eye for whatever reason. And then you look at Jordan Spieth, who he told me in Doral that at this point in time, or at that point in time this season, he was actually more confident in his game and in his swing and the results he was getting on the course, more so than last year, even though the final results after 72 holes weren't quite as good. You know, the next week, of course, was Tampa, and, you know, we asked him what the difference was, and he said, well, now I'm finally getting the putts to the hole. I've been struggling getting putts to the hole, and you see what the difference was. He got putts to the hole, and he won. That's going to be the issue for Jordan Spieth at the Masters, is getting the putts to the hole and making enough putts. But right now, Jordan Spieth is playing some beautiful golf. Statistically, he's hitting fairways, he's hitting greens, except for on the final nine there at Innisbrook, and he's getting up and down when he doesn't. And that's a very, very solid game plan that'll work anywhere, especially Augusta. Brooks Koepka, as I mentioned, this is a guy that hits it a mile. He's hitting, he doesn't really hit a lot of fairways, but Augusta is not a course that penalizes you too much if you miss fairways. I mean, Seve won there. But, you know, his issue is going to be the back and the rib cage and, you know, the displaced rib, which was displaced near his spine that they popped back into place, but it's still going to be inflamed for a while. And if he's sore, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from him when he makes the trip down Magnolia Lane. But that's a good dark horse pick if he's healthy.
Doesn't just the wording "pop back into place" make you shiver?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Oh man, that's not a picture. I'm always queasy when it comes to stuff like ribs and all that stuff. So just that, I give credit to anybody who has ribs or shoulders or elbows or whatever that is pop back into place. He is a gamer and obviously he tried to gut it out as long as possible yesterday. You know, one of the things about this whole golf season is that, you know, we've not had two of the same winners. We've had 19 different winners now, and we're now 0 for 9 for the last 954 hole leads. And this goes back to my previous question of it really can be anybody. And the thing about Augusta, as you and I both know, when you get to the back nine on Sunday, you've got all those birdie and eagle opportunities just opposed against the bogey opportunities. I think this Masters, more than any, somebody could really shoot, if the weather's right, 31 or 32, and the way this season is going, pass a whole bunch of people and possibly win.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, again, if he's healthy and he's trailing, I like a Brooks Koepka. I mean, as much as I love Brooks, he's a fellow Knoll. He's got a phenomenal game. You know, if he's leading, I still subscribe to the theory that you're going to throw away one before you win one, unless you're Tiger Woods. But, you know, that's where I like him, because he does hit a lot of putts. He does hit the ball a mile. And those are things that really would suit him well at Augusta if he's healthy. And he's the exact kind of guy that could hit 30 or a 31 or a 32 coming in, put the number, and see if it holds. This Masters could do two things. It will either play into the hands of the guys who have experience there, which I think is more often than not the case. Or, again, if you've got guys that aren't enough experience there that are playing ahead of the final group and just trying to track down a leader, it might be susceptible to a younger guy just posting a number that holds. You don't know what you're going to get at the Masters. I mean, you know the course is going to be beautiful. You know it's going to be in great shape. You know it's, you know, the first major that you get that's going to be super special. But other than that, you know, it's hard to pick who's going to win this thing. You've got guys who look good. You've got guys who look good at their health. And you have guys who, you have no idea what you're going to get from them, like Phil and Tiger. So we'll see.
A couple completely different questions for you here. Number one, you covered Jameis Winston for his time at Florida State. And one of the things which you've always talked about on this show is kind of the side of him and the nice acts that he did that the public didn't get to see. And it's now been well reported that he and his team requested to and did meet with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell last month, or either late January, early last month, to kind of start his introduction to the NFL. It's a very smart move, and for somebody who has a past that has a well-known past, it's a smart move to kind of try to get this brand new relationship started on a good foot. Did that surprise you, knowing Jameis like you do over the last couple of years?
No, not at all. Jameis Winston has made some questionable decisions, and regardless of whether or not you believe his guilt in some of the moments he has been in, he's still a very intelligent young man. He's been stupid situationally, but this is a young man who got accepted to Stanford academically, not even a football scholarship, and you don't just get accepted to Stanford academically. He's very bright, and in a lot of different intangible ways, he's got it. And that's the thing that has always puzzled me about him. 9 times out of 10, he gets it. But 1 time out of 10, he gets it wrong. He gets it really wrong. I think this is a tough decision. I think it really does point to just the IQ that Jameis Winston has. the least, that he's, you know, making this decision to pick himself up to a good relationship in the NFL.
Talking to Sean Davison. And final thing, Sean, as you look at what you've seen of the NCAA tournament, and obviously you've been covering golf and tracking things and doing all sorts of things over the last couple of weeks, is there anything that kind of stands out to you?
Well, I mean, first things first, somehow despite the disaster I had with Iowa State, and I had them in my championship game, despite that, I still have 10 out of the Sweet 16. You know, I'm faring pretty well in that department. I think the team that I really feel is playing head over heels about just about everybody else, and maybe even Kentucky, is Arizona. And they look convincing. They're getting the job done on both sides of the court. You know, they're winning by 20 points. They've been winning by 20 points. And it just doesn't seem like this team is slowing down. It seems like, you know, they've always been a very good team, like in and around the top five and top ten. And it seems like they're starting to hit the stride, and they're starting to peak at the exact right time. And this is a team that I think matches up with Kentucky in the Final Four. I think they're the best team that will match up with Kentucky at any point in time during the tournament. And I'll be very interested to see who comes out of that game. And I think whoever comes out of that game will be your national champion.
Sean Davison, always joining us to talk golf. Sean, the first major of the year is right around the corner. It's a great time of the year.
Yep, it certainly is. And, you know, you and I have both had the chance to go to Augusta National and be on the grounds, and there's a certain air about it. There's a certain aura about it. There's a certain mystique to it. And you can't really describe it unless you've been there, and you can't really understand it unless you've been there. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible week watching on TV, and for those that are going to be there, to be treated to some great golf on a sacred ground, not only in golf but in all of sport. And I'm looking forward to seeing whether a young guy can make a splash or whether an experienced veteran is going to, you know, retain what they have already done. I'm looking forward to seeing whether a bomber is going to get the job done or whether a precision player like Zach Johnson can get it done again. Augusta National really does, in my opinion, favor a specific type of golfer because it does allow different game plans to succeed. And that's, you know, the true beauty of that course, and I think that we're all going to be treated to some great golf in a few weeks.
I hope we do because we as a country deserve it. You know, it's been a long winter, and us golf fans need a nice little run right about now and some nice golf to take us through this wonderful time of year in April, and we'll be there to see how it all plays out down the stretch. Sean Davison, thanks so much, as always, for coming on Teeing It Up.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That is it for right now. We will be back in a moment. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schelling.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
That is it for this edition of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schelling. We'll see you back here next week for more talk. Thanks to Sean Davison for coming on. Have a great week. Enjoy the road to the Final Four, and we'll see you next week.